Well, this morning I'm going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. You know, Luke chapter 2, around 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7, it says, while they were there, that's Mary and Joseph, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, this morning, you would think, okay, Pastor Rich is going to preach on Christmas. But you know what? There was no such thing as Christmas on that first day. And that first encounter, the Bible records this story and the subsequent story of the shepherds. You know, it records it because God needed and God wanted this to be in Scripture. Because it's all part of the great plan of God from the Old Testament in the garden when man fell and sinned and were cast out of the garden throughout the history of the Israel in the Old Testament to the New Testament where we find ourselves at the beginning here. All of this is recorded in Scripture because it's an integral part of God's story of the gospel. Because God wanted to redeem us from our sin. And so Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, came at this time in history so that we would be able to see God, know God, experience relationship with God again when Jesus died on the cross, when he rose and went to heaven. And there he sits interceding for us and championing us. And one day Jesus Christ will return for us. It's all part of the incredible gospel story. It's God's plan of redemption for mankind. And I never get tired, especially in Matthew chapter 1 at the end there, you know, when Joseph has that encounter, that dream with the angel. I never get tired of reading that passage of Scripture because I always love to get to the part when it says that name, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why I love that word this morning that came from one of you, is that, you know, God is with us. He's with us. And I don't get tired of that. That captured thought of Jesus coming to this world, God in the flesh. Wow. That's an amazing treasure to keep in our minds and in our hearts every day of the year. In Luke chapter 2, as you go on, it says in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Well, I think I'd be too. You know, you're out in the dark, mending your own business, doing your work that you've always done, shepherding, and all of a sudden this incredible stuff happens. It's like it would wake you up if you were going to sleep. And this encounter that these shepherds have was phenomenal. You know, shepherds among occupations in Israel at that time was pretty low. They're often, shepherds were considered untrustworthy. And just the nature of their work, the fact that they worked with sheep and they're outdoors and everything, they were really ceremonially unclean in the worship in Israel at the time. But you know, the Scripture has basically a different outlook on shepherding. All throughout the Old Testament, shepherds were looked at as people who cared for God's people. And even Jesus himself, the one who was called our shepherd, is our shepherd. And in the Old Testament, David himself came from a shepherd's life before he became king. You see the graphic of Jesus being this humble person. The setting of his birth is complete humility. The shepherds, the low occupation or class, as it were, in Israel at the time, that's who Jesus' message came to. Jesus was born in a manger, in a humble setting, in with the animals, with the straw, the hay, wrapped in cloths. This humble setting that this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords came into our world in such a humble way. And Jesus showed his humility in his birth throughout his life as he came to serve and through his death when he humbled himself on the cross. he showed his humility. Philippians 2 tells us that we should do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, that we would regard one another as more important than ourselves. Do not merely look out for our own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And having this attitude in ourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the death, point of death, even death on a cross. You know, this encounter with the shepherds reminds us of the humility of God. That Jesus wasn't coming as this glorious king riding down at this point in history, although he will later on a horse with all his army to save Israel. No, he came down humbly as a baby to walk among us, becoming Emmanuel, humble, a servant. And why? Because he was serving his Father. And he was serving mankind when he would lay his life down for us in humility, taking our punishment, our guilt, our shame upon himself. Even though he didn't deserve it, he took it on himself. Colossians 3 says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on or clothe yourself with a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, and whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This word of put on or clothe yourself with in the Greek basically means to shrink into a garment. It's like this morning when I got dressed and I had my shirt on, I got this sweater and I put it on, I shrunk it onto me. And really what God wants us to do is the same humility he showed us when his birth occurred, that we too would have that type of humility in our lives. That we would learn to be humble before God. That we would learn to be humble before each other. And that we would serve God and we would serve others. We'd have that same experience that he set an example for us to be and do. Proverbs 22 says, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 15:33 says, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. And the angel says to the shepherds, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Don't fear. Why? This is good news. This is what Israel has been waiting for. The Messiah will be born. This is the time in history. This is exciting because there's a baby being born just as it was prophesied hundreds of years ago. And this baby will be born as the Messiah of the world. This is exciting. This is great news. Don't be afraid. And this bold proclamation of the gospel is here. And when the angel says today, when it says today in the city of David, today the time has come. It's here. The long-awaited Messiah will be here, born to us now. And there's a sign. Here's a sign that you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Here's the good news, and here's the sign that it's true. There's still a sign for us today, isn't there? It's not just about the manger, which we look back to, and we realize that Emmanuel, God, is with us. But folks, there's a greater sign for you and me today. It's good news. Our sins have been forgiven. We are no longer destined to suffer anguish in hell for eternity because we've been given the gift of God, which is life through the cross, through His Son's death. It's like our sins never happened. That's our sign. And if you wonder about faith and you're here today and you struggle over life and what life's all about, look to the sign that God loves you and He's the one who gave you life. And He can have as you surrender to Him, He can give you a good, abundant life. And He can give you eternity in relationship with Him. Look to the sign as the shepherds were asked to look for in their day. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Or a better translation maybe is, "on whom His favor rests." The good news, the gospel, always and will always bring glory to God the Father. It will always declare His greatness and His wonder. There'll always be that amazing praise to the God who gives the work of redemption on earth to men, whose favor rests on. And you and I have had God's favor rest upon us. That's what the cross did. God's favor rested upon us because He didn't want us to be lost in our sin. This is incredible. This is fantastic. It's amazing what God has done for us, for you. And we can have peace with God now through Christ. It's His gift to us. All who believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord will be saved. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as He lay in the manger. This realization that came upon them or should have come upon them of what was promised, and they had to check it out. They just couldn't go, "Well, this is the story. You know, there is a sign, but we'll just stay put." They wanted to check it out. They wanted to see if the sign was really there. And the Bible says they hurried there. And can I challenge you this morning, if you've never checked God out to see if His story is real, would you hurry? Would you just ask God to open up your heart to see and know Him? This sense of excitement and determination that came upon the shepherds. And they found the sign that the angel gave them to be true. The Bible tells us, "You will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you seek Him, you will find Him. And the cross is that sign. Will we be determined? Will we seek? Will we call ourselves to look to the cross and find God? When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. I love, you know, when Christ comes into your life, when you understand the reality of God and that Jesus is real and that He did die on the cross for our sin. When you come to that realization and you come to that moment of faith and that illumination that God gives us, how can we not tell the story? The shepherds told the story to people right there. Whoever was there, they would tell. This amazing story. How can we be silent? How can we contain the good news, the gospel? How can we hold it inside, this good news, this truth, when we know that people that don't know God are going to hell? May you and I have that boldness that God gives us through His Spirit. When we know what God has done for us, what He's done for me, that I would tell that story, that I wouldn't be ashamed, that I'd want to tell my family or friends. And I'm not going to be ignorant. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to give life and peace through my words. But oh, that we would tell that story, because we know what God has done for me and what He's given me. This is a great news. It's awesome news. If you had something really cool happen to you, maybe in a great gift at Christmas, and you had this incredible gift you've been given, and then you just sort of kept your mouth shut and didn't tell anybody. I've had some pretty good gifts in my lifetime, and I couldn't wait to tell my friends. I couldn't wait to tell people, look what I got. We got the greatest gift that'll ever be. How can we keep it in? God's given you a story and He's given me a story. And we ought to share it and tell people the great things that God has done. You don't got to be a theologian like Pastor Jared. You don't got to be a simple man like me. You just got to know what Jesus did in your life. That's all He wants you to share. He doesn't want you to share what you don't know. He wants you to share, what has He done in me? That's the hope that you have that He wants you to share with others. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen, just as been told them. I think that's the proper response to the incredible work of God in our life. That we would always give thanks to God, that we would always praise God, that we would always be exuberant about Him, that there would be a song in our heart throughout the day, that there would be a gladness in us because there's a peace with God in us. And everything that He's done, that our voices, our hearts, our spirits would just cry out in praise to God. And we would give Him all the glory that He deserves, all the glory that is His because of what He did for us. Psalm 75 says, we proclaim how great You are and tell of the wonderful things You've done. Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory of His name. Psalm 150 starts, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm a Christmas fanatic. And there's good news at Christmas. There's great news. There's joyful news. It's awesome, this incredible story of God. God is great, folks. God is awesome. He is mighty and He's powerful and He's amazing. And He deserves our praise. Praise God. Would you stand with me?